We're going to be in several places today. I'm going to have you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, please. Matthew 28. In the Sunday School Hour, not long ago, we began at 10, and we walked through the darkest hour in human history. If you were here, we watched Jesus stand before Pilate and be questioned. One of the answers Jesus gave Pilate as he was being questioned, he said this, "To this end was I born." In other words, I've come for this purpose right here where we are at, Pilate, in this room. And when he's talking to him in this situation, he's saying, this is why I was born. I was literally born for this day, for me to die. And we walked through that. We looked at his burdens that he bore and his physical burdens and his spiritual burdens and his emotional burdens and some of the blessings and the people, though, that loved him the most. And although one betrayed him and one denied him, the rest of the disciples, pretty much all of them, John was still there at the cross, but the rest of the disciples just forsook him. The Bible says they just forsook him and they went away. They went their different ways. But they walked, they hurt through every second that Jesus was hurting. Now, of course, they didn't carry the burdens that he carried. They didn't understand what Jesus was going through, but they hurt because they've been with Jesus now for 3.5 years, following him, walking with him, learning from him, seeing miracles, hearing the preaching, seeing the hatred, and just knowing Jesus is going to be victorious over all this, and then he dies. And they didn't walk away from the cross with confidence. They were hurt. They were heartbroken. They had questions, and they walked away with guilt, and they walked away with fear. We just read about the resurrection this morning. After the first song, I opened up to 1 Corinthians. And if Christ is not risen, then all of this is in vain. And we also face questions in our lives and fear in our lives and guilt sometimes. And the answer to their questions and the answer to their guilt and their fear and their struggles was answered when Christ resurrected from the dead. No more questions except, how did that happen? But we know what it's like to have fear and questions and guilt. We walked through nights where you couldn't see God working and through moments where you didn't know what to do next and maybe when your faith felt weak. And I'm also glad for this, that the resurrection is God's answer to every one of those moments as well. Because in our darkest moments and in our worst times, well, let's put it this way, in their darkest moments, in their worst times, in the hardest part of their life, Jesus was there. All of a sudden, Jesus was there. And the same thing happens with us as well. And I'm not trying to push amen buttons this morning or try to be cute or dramatic or anything like that. But literally in their darkest moment ever, there was Jesus. And always, listen, always in your darkest moment and worst moments, if you're saved, if you know Christ as your Savior, Jesus is there. He had victory then. By the way, he always has victory. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to walk through these events as they unfolded, because some of them can get a little confusing when you read Matthew and you read Mark and you read Luke and you read John, and there are some things that they seem to contradict, and they don't at all. They work in harmony together. They work perfectly together. When you read the Gospels, I've said this before in our church, when you read the Gospels, you've got four individuals, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they all might be talking about the same event, but in that same event, they're just giving a perspective that the other one doesn't give. Kind of like when you see a car accident on an intersection and you're on, there's four people on the different corners or different situations or one in the car. The person in the car is definitely going to have a different viewpoint of the car accident than the person that is on the corner of the intersection and sees it coming their direction, as well a different viewpoint than the person who got hit by the car coming his direction, right? They're all going to give different details, but they're all going to be correct. And when you put the pieces together, it works harmoniously together and perfectly together. And so that's, we're going to do that. We're going to attempt to do that this morning a little bit with the Gospels and the story of Jesus Christ. And it's really cool. Each story is beautiful and is really neat to look at. So you're in Matthew 28. So let's stand together. We're just going to read verses 1 through 6. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Would you read verse 6 with me one more time out loud? Ready, begin. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Our God in heaven, Lord, I need you this morning, as we've already prayed, and I just ask, God, that you'd help me one more time to be clear and to be true to your word. Help us to receive what you have for us, not something that I have to say, but to learn from your word and to apply it to our lives. Allow the Holy Spirit to work. There's needs here this morning, and we know you can meet them. Or maybe somebody doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Today would be a great day of salvation for them to know for sure they're going to heaven. Maybe somebody's struggling today or hurting or maybe confused. Maybe they just need to have victory over some sin in their life. Lord, I pray you'd help us with all these things. And Lord, you'd be glorified and honored in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. So we're going to kind of do a narration, so to speak, as we go through, a little different than I normally do when I preach, but we're going to hit some application as we go along as well. And I just want to take these as events and see how they work together. Right here in Matthew chapter 28, it says in verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake. This is as it began to dawn, because verse 1 tells us that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary are on the move already, getting ready to go towards the sepulcher. We'll talk about them in a minute. But at that time, or maybe before, it doesn't exactly say. We know it was early. There was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. How many of you have ever felt an earthquake? Raise your hand if you've ever felt an earthquake. How many of you, the only earthquakes you felt were kind of small? Just kind of like, what was that? Okay. How many of you, there was an earthquake where you lived, everybody else felt it, you had no clue? Anybody like that? All right. I've experienced small ones. I've experienced the ones where, I was this cart boy at a grocery store, and I was pushing carts, and people are looking around going, what's going on? I'm like, what are they looking at? Evidently, there was an earthquake, and I had no idea. And then I felt the bigger ones. You know, I grew up in Seattle. We'll get some pretty good earthquakes there sometimes. And so I felt not like huge, but how many have been in like a huge one where like there was devastation? Anybody in a place where that happened? Praise the Lord. But those can get pretty scary. Anyways, the Bible says here there was a great earthquake. God doesn't mince words. All right. When it says great, it was great. Okay. And where was it on the Richter scale? It was on the great side of the Richter scale. All right? And so that's how great it was. And I think when God, you know, has an intention here, I'm sure it was pretty impactful. And that's what happened. But it was no natural disaster. Because Matthew tells us that before the women ever arrived at the tomb, God had already moved. It says that the earthquake happened and the angel descended. And the stone was rolled away. The angel rolls the stone back. The angel sits on it. This kind of chills. But the stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away to allow the witnesses to come in. And the guards, the strongest men in Jerusalem, the stone was placed there. And the guards were placed there because the leaders of the day knew that there would be some, maybe they thought, radical followers of Jesus who might come in and steal the body to make it look like he rose from the dead. So the leaders put guards there and the stone there for the purpose of making sure that didn't happen. But it wasn't people that came. It was God sent his angel. The stone was rolled away. The angel didn't let Jesus out. Jesus doesn't depend on an angel. But the stone was rolled away to show Jesus isn't there. He's gone. He was already gone. He's not there. And so, but the strongest men in Jerusalem, these guards, they collapsed like dead men before the glory of God. And God was working here already long before anyone could see. Mary and the other, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they're on the way there. Not because they're on the way there for a celebration. They're there with spices. They're going to treat the body. They're going they expect Jesus to be there and dead. And they weren't there rejoicing at all. But yet what they didn't know is that God had already been working. And sometimes maybe somebody's walked in here today with some stones you can't move in your life. I'm not trying to over-spiritualize things, but I just couldn't help but think about that God removed the stone for the witnesses to see the resurrected Savior. And I do think that God can move some stones in our lives as well. Fears you can't shake or sins you can't fix. And griefs that you can't carry. But the resurrection story tells us this, that Jesus has victory in the worst of moments, doesn't he? And he had victory in the grave and over the darkness. And he had victory when everyone else thought that the story was over. They thought it was over. Even the disciples were like, I thought he was God, and now he's dead. Now go to Mark 16, if you would. So each of these events, I'm going to have you turn to one place. We'll read the verses and I'll explain what's going on. I'll use some supporting verses, but I'm just going to have you turn to one passage for each of these points. Mark 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. So this is corresponding with what we just read in Matthew, these two women. But then there's some other women that Mark mentions. And Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, as they're walking, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? We want to go in. We want to do what, you know, traditionally we do with bodies of loved ones. But the stone's in the way. I don't know. Maybe they talked about it. Maybe the guards are strong enough to roll away. I don't know. But you know how women talk. They're just gossiping. Who knows? But anyways, verse 4. And when they looked, when they got there, they looked. And they didn't have to be right next to it to see this. I want you to catch that. They don't have to be right next to the stone to see that it's rolled away. You don't have to be close to a tomb to see that there's a stone over here and a hole here, right? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Now, notice this. Before Peter, maybe you're familiar with the stories that go on regarding the resurrection. Before Peter and before John ever run that direction, the women come first. Mark mentions three of them here. Matthew mentioned the other Mary. And then Luke, actually, we're not going to go there, but Luke adds these words, certain others with them. So it wasn't just these that were mentioned here, but when you put them all together, you find out who's there, certain others with them. We just know there's other people who are not named. Again, different writers, same group of people. They're not contradicting each other, just kind of listing the members that are there. These women, again, they're not coming excited or in faith. They're expecting to see a body there. But as they walk, they're wondering, who's going to roll away the stone? But when they arrive, the one thing they couldn't move is already moved. God had already done so. Maybe you're walking towards things in your life that you don't know how to face. Maybe you're wondering how this situation is going to work out. And you're asking the same question that they asked, who's going to move this stone? Now, I want to be careful as I throw in these little applications here that really in context doesn't say that's the application. I want to be careful not to draw away from the point of the stories, but I can't help but notice these things. And I just think that's awesome. Every detail that works out here, I think it's amazing how God worked it out. And the joy that would, I mean, when they're telling the story to other people, they're going, and we were talking and we were sad and we're like, who's going to move the stone when we get there? We show up. It's already moved. Only God could do that. Hey, listen, you're going to look at things in your life as Christians and you've got to be able to tell the story of we were wondering how this is going to work out. We were wondering what was going to happen. But when we look back, all we can say is that's a God thing. Only God could do that. Only God could work in that way in my life. And He is the God who still works that way. If you're facing something that you're questioning. Now, as these women stand there, though, I want you to notice this. Go to John 20. We're going to the third event here. As these women stand there looking at the rolled away stone, something happens, kind of splits the story. The women are going to experience something, but Mary Magdalene is going to experience something. Mary Magdalene breaks away and she runs off to Peter and John. It says in John chapter 20, I've got it written down here, but I really need to make sure that I'm reading it right. John 20 verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. Again, it's just telling some things we've already read, but from John's perspective here. When it was yet dark under the sepulchre. So he's not even talking about everyone else. He's just focusing on her now. And seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. She sees the stone moved. How far away was she? I have no idea. Far enough away that she didn't get to experience what the other women experienced who stayed. Because it says in verse 2, then she runneth. Doesn't say she went in the tomb. Doesn't say she spoke to the angels. She sees the stone, like you're in a group of people and you're talking, you're walking along and maybe they're talking about Jesus and the life that they had with him for the last 3.5 years and everything. And they're carrying their spices. Who's going to roll the stone away? They pull up. And somebody says, look, maybe it was Mary. It says Mary saw it. The stone's not there. And the other women are like, what? And they start walking forward. And Mary goes, I've got to tell Peter. And she runs, turns around and runs back. That's pretty much what happened. She reacts differently. She sees the stone. She doesn't stay. And listen to what she says. She runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. So you know she didn't hear the same message the other women heard from the angel that we'll get to in a minute. They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. She is not thinking resurrection here, is she? Not at all. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. She's thinking someone moved the body. Still not celebrating, still confused, not expecting a miracle. She's hurting. She's trying to make sense of something that doesn't make sense, and she clearly didn't hear the same words the angels told the other women. This is why we're walking through these events in this order, because if you don't follow the sequence, you'll think the Gospels might be contradicting each other. But when you follow the timeline, it becomes clear. The women arrive. They see the stone moved. Mary leaves immediately. The other women stay. Mary reaches Peter and John and accuses somebody of stealing the body of Jesus before the angels ever speak to the rest of the group. It's kind of like what happens when hurting people react in real time as well. When life hits hard and you don't always think clearly and you don't always process things in order, you don't always see what God is doing, but God is still working. That's the title of the message, by the way. God is still working. even when you don't understand what you're looking at, God gets it. God knows. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And Mary Magdalene, she didn't know it yet, but she was running straight into the next step of God's plan. And Peter and John here, Mary's report. And they begin running. Now, go to Matthew 28 again, please. I don't know if this happened while Mary was running back to Peter and John, or while Peter and John were running towards the sepulcher. We'll talk about them in a minute. Maybe it was both. I think it was right after Mary Magdalene left, personally, but Matthew 28 and verse 5. The Bible says, and the angel answered and said unto the women, minus Mary Magdalene, she left, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Mary Magdalene's already telling the disciples that somebody stole the body. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. Who does? Jesus is. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this moment. In Matthew 28, the angel speaks to the women. Mark 16, the angel tells them Jesus is risen. In Luke 24, two angels. So Luke says there's two. Reminds them of Jesus' words. Different writers, same event. Some just recorded what the Holy Spirit laid on their heart to record. None of them were wrong. They're not contradicting each other. But in essence, listen to the message that the angels said to these women. And listen to the message you got to get. Fear not. He's risen. Come and see. Go and tell. This is the first announcement of the resurrection. And Mary Magdalene is not here for it. She missed it. Because she ran before the angels appeared. And that's why she's confused. That's why she thinks somebody moved the body. And that's why her experience is different. The women who stayed get to hear the truth first, that he's risen. Luke adds in Luke 24, verse 8, the women, talks about the women, Luke 24, verse 8, it says, and they remembered his words. So when the angel said the words, the women go, oh yeah, oh yeah, that's right. He did say that, didn't he? Yeah. See, if the men would have showed up first, and the angel said that to Peter and John, then we're like, what? He said that, really? Because men are a little slow, right? Women remember everything. So, they're always right. That was your opportunity to say amen. I can't believe you missed that. No, the truth is, actually, verse 9 of Luke 24, verse 8, we're not going to go there. You can look at it if you want, or look at it later. Verse 9 indicates that they didn't quite understand everything, but they remembered they didn't understand everything, but they remembered what Jesus said. And listen, that's how God often works with his people and steadies us. Not by giving us all the answers at once or explaining every detail, but by bringing his words back to mind. This is huge. It's why it matters that you know the words of Jesus. This is why it's important that you know the word of God, because when your life gets confusing, and your life is going to get confusing, I'd rather face a confusing life with God's word to help guide me through them than facing a confusing life without God's word to help me. And when fear rises and we don't understand what's going on or what God is doing, you might have a lot of questions. But listen, if you don't spend any time in the Word of God or you don't spend any time in prayer, you're not going to get very many answers. It's okay to have questions. But it's like a person who's got a million questions for you. You have a quick, you know the answer. You can help them, but they just refuse to talk to you. Not a lot of logic there. And that's why it matters that you spend time in the Word of God. And you can read promises like I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, or the Lord loves you, or all things work together for good, or Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. And you can lean to promises like that if you read them and you know them. And then it's like, oh yeah, you did say that, didn't you? Oh, you never did promise that life would be a bed of roses, but you did say that you'd be with me as I go through the hard times of life. See, the angels did not give the women any new information. They just reminded them what Jesus had already said. And that was enough when they said, oh yeah. See, you don't need a new sign from God. You don't need to see some writing in the sky. You don't need some miraculous thing to happen that's unexplainable. You just need to remember what Jesus already said. His words are enough. They've always been enough. And the women who stayed heard this angelic message. Mary has already reached Peter and John by this time, probably close to it. And now Peter and John are able to run to the tomb. I love this part. Go to John 20, if you would. John 20. The Bible says, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, verse 3, Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter. I bet he'd never let him live that one down. And came first to the sepulcher. And he stooping down and looking in, who? The one who outran Peter, which is John. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Just kind of, I see his clothes. I'm not going in there. Peter finally catches up, out of breath. This would have been me. I think Peter went in so he could sit down and just catch his breath. But then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself, separate, apart, as if somebody folded them and placed them down. Then went in also that other disciple, John, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw, look at these words, and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. This is not the scene of a stolen body. Grave robbers don't unwrap a body and fold the head covering. This is intentional. And the Bible says that John saw and believed. Not full understanding. Verse 9, it makes that very clear that they didn't know the scripture completely. But he believed something real has happened. Again, another reminder that God is working. God is always, they don't understand what's going on. But it doesn't matter if you understand what's going on or not. God's always working behind the scenes. Regardless. Always. You may not get everything. But God's constantly working behind the scenes. Even though you don't fully understand. And they don't know the scripture that says he must rise again. They don't know Jesus is about to appear to them. They don't know how all the pieces fit, but they're responding to the truth they do have. And God's just leading them step by step here. And listen, Christian, you don't have all the answers and you don't see the whole picture. And you're trying to make sense of what God is doing. But the resurrection shows us this. God is working even when you don't understand the moment that you're standing in right now. And Peter and John didn't know the moment they were standing in, but they were standing in the middle of the greatest victory in history. And so they leave the tomb to process what they've seen. Somewhere, Mary makes her way back. Maybe Peter and John walk by Mary as they're on their way out. I don't know, but she isn't as fast as they are, so she got there later. Look at John 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting. So Peter and John are gone. The one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. This is awesome. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. And knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, if you took him away, if you moved him, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not. So she knew. As soon as he said her name, she knew who he was. He said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but I go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that she had spoken these things unto her. I can't read right now because I can't see. This is one of the most tender moments in all Scripture. Peter and John left. They saw the evidence, and they're just trying to process what's going on. I love now that Mary ran away. At first, we're accusing her. Like, what are you running away? You missed an awesome moment with the angels. Well, she got her own. She got her own personal moment. And then she turns around, and there's Jesus standing right there. But he asked her, why weepest thou? Then he said, whom seekest thou? She thinks he's the gardener at first. She knows him as soon as he says her name. You know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they know me. Everything changed with one word when he called her name. This is the first personal appearance of the risen Christ, not to Peter, not to John, not to the disciples who Jesus has been training for 3.5 years, not to any of them, to Mary. To Mary. Not Mary, not his mother, Mary Magdalene, one who had been possessed with demons. Who was saved. And here's a simple truth. Jesus meets hurting people right where they are. Mary didn't understand the moment she was standing in or what God was doing. She didn't know victory was already won, but Jesus was there. He called her by name. Some of you remember when Jesus called your name. As in, you remember when the Holy Spirit convicted your heart. You knew if I were to die today, I'd go to a devil's hell, but you also knew Jesus was calling out to you. And so you called out to him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you put your faith and trust in Jesus as the only way to heaven. Do you remember that day? Do you remember how important that was to you and what it meant to you? And he changed her life. And so she's hurting because she thinks that his body's been taken. And then she sees him alive. And you might not understand what God's doing, Christian, but you know that he called your name. You know that you're saved. He knows your name. He meets you where you are, and he's there for you. Always. All you got to do is call his name. Like this. Dear Heavenly Father, God in heaven. All right, we got to move on. All right, Matthew 28, verse 8. There's so much we can talk about. I know it's a little bit longer of a message, but give me liberty, we'll hopefully make this a short time. And as who you say, and now for the rest of the story. Who was that? Thank you, Paul Harvey. All right. Matthew 28, verse 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, this is the women now, when they first heard the message from the angel. So, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Mary's has already had her personal encounter. These are the other women. They stayed at the tomb when Mary ran off to go tell Peter and John. These women had heard the angels. These are the women who remembered Jesus' words. And now they're obeying Jesus' words to go tell, or they're obeying the angels' words to go tell the disciples, and Jesus meets them on the way. Matthew says, I like these words, they left the tomb with fear and great joy. Like, that makes sense. This is crazy, but it's awesome. And that's a very human mixture. They don't understand everything, but they believe something real has happened. And as they go, Jesus meets them and says, all hail. It was just a simple greeting back then. It wasn't anything dramatic, but their response was they fell at his feet. They hold on to him and they worship him. And Jesus gives them the same message the angels already had. Be not afraid and go tell my brethren. This is important that Jesus confirmed that message, that the angels weren't mistaken. This was huge for them, because they're like, did we imagine things? They could have been thinking, was this just our imagination? I mean, did we eat bad food last night and our brains are going crazy? I mean, what's going on? Maybe it's too early. I don't know. Maybe we're just too emotional. We can't see things clearly. Were those really angels that were talking to us? But as they're on their way, there's Jesus shows up and he confirms the words. You know, God will do that in your life too, by the way. When you're confused about something, you know something's just, it doesn't make sense. You're like, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. I know this is what God is doing, but I'm struggling. I don't really have the faith. I don't have the assurance of it. But the more time you spend with God, the more assurance he'll give you. And he'll confirm through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through the preaching of God's Word, through your own time with him, that you're doing the right thing. I'm just saying, just simply follow the simple directions that you've been given by God, and God will validate it, and God will help you. Now, this is a cool story. Go to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 13. We're going to bring it all together here. And behold, two of them, these are disciples, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these sayings which had happened. It doesn't say which disciples that these were, but two disciples. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Notice the timing again. Mary's seen Jesus, the other women have seen Jesus, Peter's seen the empty tomb, but these two disciples are walking away from Jerusalem. They're discouraged, they're confused, they're leaving, maybe they're scared, they want to get away from the insurrection that's going on, or whatever the chaos is going on regarding the followers of Jesus. And so it says as they're walking, they were reasoning or talking it out, trying to figure it out. And while they're walking and talking, Jesus draws near, but they don't recognize him. Verse 16 tells us they don't recognize him. And Jesus asks them what they're talking about. So they stop walking. And Luke says they stood still, looking sad. And that's where their hearts were. And they tell Jesus everything. They talk about the crucifixion and their shattered hopes and the women's report, the empty tomb and the confusion of the disciples. And then Jesus says something they needed to hear. Look at verse 25. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And listen, we're often slow to believe what God's already said. And these two disciples, they weren't struggling because God failed them. They were struggling because they forgot the words of God. What did Jesus say in John 14, verse 1? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And their hearts were troubled. Not because the word changed, but because they lost sight of it. Hey, listen, Christian, when you're facing hard times, when you're facing difficulties, you just need to remember what Jesus already said. So Jesus reveals to them who he is. They reach Emmaus, the town, They invite Jesus to stay. He sat at the table. He breaks bread with them. And in that moment, their eyes were opened and they knew, there he is. That's Jesus. And then he vanishes out of their sight. I love it. Vanishes out of their sight. Now we're going to go to John 21. Jesus appears by the Sea of Galilee. So he goes, the disciples go back to where all the disciples are meeting. They show up where the disciples are hiding. These two disciples run back to the others and they get to tell the story of what just happened. Mary Magdalene has run back. She's telling her story. The women, Peter and John, they all are getting together and they're all just going, what's going on? This is crazy. And as they're doing this, boom, there's Jesus. He shows up. He doesn't knock on the door. He's just, boop, there he is. Shows up. The only one who's not there is Thomas. 8 days later, the disciples are meeting again. And there's Jesus again showing up. This time Thomas is there. And Jesus says, touch my hands. Touch my side. It's me, Thomas. You don't have to doubt anymore. It's me. And then the last time that, or one more time that he shows up to them is right here in John 21. In verse 1, it says, after these sayings, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus. They were all there. They were all there. And Peter says, saith unto them, verse 3, I go a fishing. They saying to him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. They catch nothing. They go fishing. They're confused. They're tired. Peter had just betrayed or denied Christ 3 times. And so his heart is just upset. He denied Christ 3 times. He said he didn't know him. And now he's hurt because Jesus prophesied this would happen, and it did. So he says, I'm going fishing. They all joined him. They've already seen the resurrected Christ, but they're still just confused. So they fish all night and they catch nothing. So Jesus shows up on the shore, John 21, verse 5, but they don't recognize him. So he calls out, children, have ye any meat? They said, no. He said, verse 6, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. So they did. They obeyed, and what happened? The nets filled instantly. Now, that's a cool story because it happened 3 years earlier when Jesus first called Peter to follow him, and I will make you fishers of men. So John looks out and says, that's Jesus. Peter goes, it is. And he jumps in the water and swims towards him. And they get to the shore. Jesus already has a meal prepared and fish and bread and a fire. And they're there and they're talking. And then Jesus looks at Peter and he says to Peter, he doesn't bring up Peter's failure. He doesn't say, you denied me 3 times. He just asks him 3 times, do you love me? Lovest thou me? Peter said, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Lovest thou me? You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. He asked him one more time. Lovest thou me? Peter said, you know all things. I'm paraphrasing. You know all things. You know that I love you. You know it. Peter failed publicly, so Jesus restores him publicly. Listen, Christian, your failure is not final. Jesus didn't throw him away. He's not going to throw you away. He restored him. And if Peter can be restored because of the resurrection, you can be restored as well. Because Jesus is alive. God is always working. And even when you don't see it or you don't feel it, you don't understand he's working, he is always working in your life, no matter what. Now, maybe somebody this morning is confused with all this because you're not familiar with these stories, and you might think that you're saved, you might think you're going to heaven, but you're not sure, or you're trying to be good enough to get there, you're trying to earn your way there, you're trying to buy your way to heaven. But if all of that could get you to heaven, none of these stories would have needed to happen. Everything we just went through would have been an absolute waste of time if your goodness can get you to heaven. But the truth is, your goodness cannot get you to heaven. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. My goodness cannot get me to heaven. My sin sends me to hell, which is why Jesus came and died on the cross for my sins, but he resurrected 3 days later. And he has power over the grave, and he has power over the dead. And beautiful stories right here. But God has a story for you as well. Christian, listen, he's done a work in your heart, hasn't he? He's done a work in your life. He's continuing to do so. And he wants to continue to work. But you got to open your heart and let him, and trust him and let him guide. Maybe somebody this morning doesn't know Christ. You're not sure if you're saved. You can know him because he died for your sins so you can have a home in heaven.